in a very busy phase of life, like some of us more than others, and some of us are about to be busier, you know, but just it can be a very tiring, you know, and it's, there's nothing wrong, like we have to do things, like we have to go to work and look after our children and take the car to get fixed and then go get haircuts, and you know, it's just busy, you know, we have all these responsibilities, and you know, it's just, that's just the nature of the stage of life we're in. But I want to talk more about, there's another kind of a busyness that comes, and it can feel like a pressure, and it's sort of a driving thing, and you know, the enemy definitely gets in there, and it can come in all kinds of different ways. You know, for some people, maybe that push or that drive can be more of like a career, you know, and just like, well, I've got to do this, and there's like real perhaps fears in there, like if I don't do this, because such a time in the future, like I need to be able to provide, or you know, maybe it's just a busyness of just even a ministry busyness, you know, like we can be in a place where we feel like, oh, but I've got to do this, and it's just the enemy just so gets in there, there's just this pressure, like I've got to be at everything, or like I've got to make sure that I do such and such and such, and like the enemy, he can, you know, he can just really tell lies, like, oh, well, if you don't do it all, then you, the Lord's will is not going to happen for you, or you're going to miss out, like it's just such a lie, it's very deceitful. Mm-hmm. You know, just and it can be very tiring, and it really just takes your joy, you know. But we just want to talk about that, and I'll let you help in here if you want.
I mean, there's such a thing as too busy, and I know our culture is go, go, go. The value of my life, we can often wrap the value of our lives and how busy we are. I remember reading this article one time, it's almost like we love to say, like, how are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm just so busy, as if it's like a badge of honor that we're busy. Like, I don't really care if you're busy. You don't really care if I'm busy. Like, that is not my value in life. Well, I'm just busy. Okay, great. You can be busy and lose your family.
Yes.
What's that worth?
Yeah.
Tell me you're busy. I'm busy.
Yeah.
But what does it matter? And we have to really guard ourselves. You know, Jesus was busy. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. And then all of a sudden, he's getting pressed on by this crowd. And then here comes a lady who grabs the corner of his garment, and she's healed. I mean, this guy's busy. He gets off his ship, and a demon-possessed guy reaches him. He's so tired that he's taking a nap in a storm, okay? Yes, he was resting because he's God, and he knows he's got everything, but he's also a man, and he's physically tired, and he's so tired physically to the point of exhaustion, you know? He's laboring as unto his father that he's sleeping in the middle of a rocking boat on a very tumultuous lake. That's tired. That's busy. But this is what Jesus said. He said in John 5:19, and this is just in the idea of there is something called too busy. But Jesus said, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. And then he also kind of repeats himself in verse 30 of chapter 5 of John. And he says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus is saying, although I'm really busy, I'm only doing what I know to be God's will. I'm listening, and I'm watching him. And what I see him doing, and where I hear him, what I hear him speaking, I'll follow in suit. And I don't do my own will. You know, we can think that all busyness is good busyness, and this is opportunity, and that's an opportunity, just like, you know, you might have ministry opportunities. And it's, but there might come a point we really have to be very humble and just say, okay, Lord, I want to do this, but what do you want me to do? Let me look at my calendar. I haven't spent a lot of time with my family. That means I'm going to have to prepare. And if I back up my preparation time, it means that I'm going to miss out on this thing. You know what I mean? We just have to really stop sometimes and just put on the brakes. Not everything is a rush. Not every person needs to hear an answer right away. We can actually tell someone, hang on, I'll call you back. You know, it's actually okay for us to do.
And something, you know, I think a lot of us have heard the saying, like, show me your friends and I'll tell you your character. You know, but we could also say, show me your priorities and I'll tell you your future. You know, like, it's not going to, you know, it really is, it's easy, like if we don't make time for our family now and make them a priority, then what's going to change in a decade, you know? And it goes really fast, and our kids are influenced really fast. You know, just if we don't make the time now, something's going to influence them. You know, and I know the enemy wants to, and just even in our marriage, like he says, he's going about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Like, we need to watch over each other and be with each other, you know, and just, but even in that, you know, sometimes there's a busyness that comes, and it's not a choice. It's just a trial, you know, like maybe you have to care for someone, maybe, you know, your kids are sick again, you know, or just, there's just things you have to take care of, maybe as a family, or Jesus was busy. There were things he had to do, and it was part of ministry, and it wasn't wrong, and it was what he was called to do. And we can feel very overwhelmed, and I feel like there's a lot of people who do. They just feel a bit stressed in life and a bit overwhelmed, and you just wonder, how am I going to get it all done, or like, how will I ever get there? You know, how will we ever be financially stable, or how will we ever fulfill the yearning or the calling that's in our heart? Like, but we can't even do it all, you know. And just, it's just such a stress, and there's no rest in it, and there's no joy, and it's just a place where we have to be so watchful and vigilant, because it is a place where the enemy wants us to be, and he wants to bring us there. That's all he wants to do, is steal our rest. Like, if he does that, he's got us, you know, because then we're stressed and we're going to turn to the next thing, or we're going to try push for things to happen, or, you know, we're going to maybe just turn to something else to satisfy us, you know, and that's when he wants to come, you know, and just when our vision is blurry, you know. And I think David's a great example, you know, talk about stress, you know, he's like running and hiding in caves and running for his life, and he had a calling, you know, he was told he was going to be king, and, you know, here he is, the current king wants to kill him, you know. But in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." And I think for us, even that's like a spiritual thing. Like, the Lord wants to lift up our head above all that noise that the devil has, and all that distraction and that stress, just so we can see and hear him and just look into his face. He says, "I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." You know, just, we've been taught this, you know, for over a year about praise, you know, and just, this is just, again, a confirmation of that. And David saying that, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." You know, that's all the Lord said, was seek my face. He didn't say, "Well, you got to be like this, and you got to do this, and you got to get your act together, and you better be training yourself and doing A, B, and C." He just said, "Seek my face." Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what he's telling us. And I know everybody has desires. Everybody has yearnings. Everybody has dreams. Everybody has, you know, in the spiritual and just in the practical. But it's just to bring it back and to remind us just to seek the face of the Lord and to rest in him.
Yeah, just around there, actually, this Bible plan is awesome. I love it. It's just a lot, really a lot in it. But Psalm 26, I mean, okay, kings are busy, right? Because, I mean, if you've ever led even just your own family, your own house, if you just try to manage your own checkbook and your own schedule, you're busy. Now imagine you've got millions of people in a nation. You have people who want to kill you personally within your own palace. You can't trust everybody. You've got kids. You've got warfare. All this stuff. And yet David still made time. And it says this in, if he can make time for God, surely we can, right? And that's meant to be encouragement, not a shame. But encouragement to us. In Psalm 26:6, it says, "I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds." So he's being serious here. So in the tabernacle, there was an altar, and he's saying, I'm just going to stand up here, I'm going to do it. You know, like, it's a square thing, and he's just going around the altar because he has a burning sacrifice there. And he's just praising the Lord as that sacrifice is being burnt up. And he's just praising him. He's like, God, you've been good to me. You protected me from my enemies. You kept me from Saul. You did this. You've given me health. You've given me provision. And so while that sacrifice is actually being burnt up, David is praising his God. That means his heart has to be free enough to praise. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are not free enough to praise like that and to even remember when all we are is burdened with the cares of life, our stresses of life. And look, they come upon us. And sometimes it's hard to even find that valve where they can all just kind of leak out, you know what I mean, wherever they go.
Yeah.
But he found there, by making a sacrifice, that that was the area where he was able to go. And just like, you know, we go forward for that, what we call that choir of praise. Mm-hmm. Come up there. Let it be that living sacrifice that Romans 12 talks about. Go up there and just begin to declare with all the people of God, you have been good to me. I am stressed. I am busy.
And just to go along with that, this is a scripture I have. Psalm 51:16, it says, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Like, that's the sacrifice. It's just us being vulnerable and honest and broken. You know, it is a challenge, you know, but also just an invitation. Like, when was the last time you went to the Lord just broken and vulnerable and just rested in his presence and just enjoyed him and enjoyed his company? I know I love to enjoy Andrew's company and we like to hang out and we try to make time for that, you know, but like, do we do that with the Lord? Like, do we say, okay, once the kids get to bed, I'm gonna hang out with Jesus, you know, we're gonna talk, you know, we're gonna just be in each other's presence, you know, and just, it's a good thing, it's exciting, it's not a bondage, you know, and the only thing you need to do to get there, I just go and be broken and be vulnerable. And he does, he meets you there. But the enemy, I just know, especially in this season of life, he wants to take that from us. Because in that place is where so much comes out. Just a deeper relationship with the Lord, peace in the midst of your trials, words of God, you know, visions for the future, promises. Like, so much happens right there. And that's where he does not want us to go.
Mm.
You know, and it's just to be aware of him. Like, he really does just want to steal our rest. But that's the place where the Lord wants us to get, is just to rest in him. Mm. Like, all of us have a purpose. All of us have something the Lord said, that's what I want to do with Jason's life. You know, that's what I want to do with Caleb. Like, but for us to do it, we have to rest in him.
Yeah.
You know, that we can't say, well, I need to get this. We just have to rest in the Lord. And just to be aware of the enemy in that, you know, I love this scripture, Psalm 32:7. It says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Again, praise, you know, but just, we've heard it too through Lee, just remember the hiding place, to go there. And praise doesn't always look the same. You know, sometimes it is just sitting at your dining table. Recently, you know, just had some things that just troubled me, and it was just such a sweet time. I just sat there, my kids were playing in the living room, and I just sat at my dining table, and he just met me, and it was just like that, just rest. He was just there, because I just came, I was like, I can't do it, you know, but I know you will help me. And he just meets you, and there's just such rest and strength and victory in it.
And, you know, the first scripture God ever spoke to me out of was John chapter 15. It was right after I got saved, or a little while after I got saved. Honestly, for like the first 2 years after I got saved, I practically never read the Bible. I had a relationship with Jesus. I was convicted of sin. I had joy. I prayed because I had a relationship with him, but I didn't even know to read the Bible because I had no real church to disciple me. The one I went to was very watery, and it doesn't really matter. But I opened up my Bible one time to John 15. I was like, so if it says, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. I was like, whoa, so you're saying, like, apart from you, I can't do anything. This makes sense. It's like I was, like, learning, and it's amazing that was the first thing he ever showed to me, ever, because that scripture, it's like I go back to it. It's like my life verse.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Not that I do that perfectly, but it's a constantly finding myself going back. It's the very first thing that Jesus said to me. It's just so amazing. And just like you're saying, it's like there's nothing wrong with the vine. Jesus is the vine. That life is flowing up and down through that branch. Nothing wrong with that. It's just there's problems sometimes with the branch that's plugged in. we're not always getting the sap. We're not always getting the life from the vine into us. And sometimes because we're wiggling around too much, it's because we're so busy and we're not bearing fruit and we're frustrated, even though we're trying to do good things. And Acts 6 gives a really good, it lives this out. Acts 6 verse 2 says, and the 12, and this is right after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 saved. They have that guy who gets healed by the temple. 5,000 get saved. I mean, come on, you have 12 apostles, but now you got a congregation of 8,000. Okay? Imagine having 12 pastors over 8,000 people. That is crazy. That is stress right there. I mean, how do you even... I have enough trouble trying to beat the pastor of my home with a wife and two kids, you know? But it says the 12 apostles, they summoned the full number of the disciples, the thousands of them, and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So there were widows, and these widows needed ministry. They needed it. It's good. This is right. God would want that. But this good thing was keeping God from the thing he was calling them to. They walked with him so that they could preach. And look, this is not to say that we don't wash feet, because later on, you know, he's not with the thousands. He's praying over this woman named Dorcas, and she used to sew clothes for people. What a name, right? I'm sure back then it was like beautiful, but today it's kind of silly.
Like a nerd.
Just kind of like a nerd. So,
you're right. Yeah.
Depends on the culture.
Nerdy in some culture.
Oh, it's not.
But she was a lowly woman. You know, she sewed garments. But the point is, they were being kept from where they really needed to be. And so they had to know, what is God calling me to be? And sometimes we struggle to prioritize. A very wise man once told me when I had lunch with him, he said, now you can't do everything. You can do everything kind of okay, or you can do some things really well. And you might say, well, they say that in the business field. And they do, but it also does just go to Jesus. What was Jesus called to do? I am anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. He didn't go stop slavery in the Roman Empire. He didn't go stop abortion in the Roman Empire. He didn't do all these things because he knows if I listen to God, if I obey him, if I fulfill my ministry, then the lives of these people are going to be changed. And then that's going to multiply. And then all through the Roman Empire, things are going to happen. People are going to change from the inside. And so we need to know, what is God telling me to do? Just like those 12 apostles, they knew and they were able to say, this is a very good thing, but I need to step aside from this ministry right now. I need to step aside from this thing I've been doing. And I'm not trying to tell you, thus says the Lord. You just got to hear for yourself. We all have to hear for ourselves. But sometimes we have to say, you know what? I got to quit teaching at that Bible study downtown because I got another baby coming along. And that's the right thing to do. And then God's going to bless that. And you're going to be more fruitful. You're going to be more fruitful.
I think sometimes it's hard. You know, you talk about that. And I know in my own life, there's been a lot of times where, because I've been doing something for so long in the Lord, something of the Lord for so long, that sometimes when the Lord is telling me to lay something aside, sometimes I think it's just my own pride. I don't want to give it up, right? You know, well, God, if I'm not doing this for you, then what am I doing for you? You know, what value is my place in this body, in this community? And so sometimes it's just my own pride that gets in the way. You know, I don't want to lay it down, you know. Yeah, but that's one thing. And I thought too, when you were talking about this verse, you know, made me think, just because of our reading, I guess, but made me think about Moses when his father-in-law came to him and said, what are you doing? You know, you can't. It said that Moses was judging Israel from sun up to sundown, that there was literally no time in the day that he was not spending mediating between all the people of Israel, which you can imagine with, you know, close, probably what they estimate close to 1 million people, you know, but he was doing that nonstop. And it made me think, as you were saying that, it made me think, you know, it wasn't just to give Moses moments of relaxation, but I was thinking, if he was still doing that, then, you know, after that moment that he had with the Lord on the mountain, if he was still doing that, he wouldn't have had those times in the tent of meeting where, you know, it said every day he went to the tent of meeting and just sat with the Lord, and the Lord spoke with him face to face as a man speaks with a friend. He wouldn't have had those. He'd have still been he'd have been over there the whole time, judging Israel, you know, and just doing these things. But
and he never would have, and never would have given anyone else the chance to be discipled, to be raised up.
Yeah.
Because the next generation can't just go on Moses. Mm-hmm. So his father Jethro said, choose men of 50, of 100, of that, over all those numbers. He said, you know, men of activity, basically. Yeah. People who could be trusted. And what did that do? That developed leadership all throughout the ranks of Israel. You know, preparation. And there may be a time where God says, Andrew, step aside from this. But, oh God, that kind of gave me status among the body of Christ. I have this title to do this thing, and if I do that, then I'm kind of like losing a part of myself. You know what I mean? Those are real thoughts that come in. Oh, he's given me status. I don't want to give that up. But that's why it really does all come down to love. What do we love? It's either
Amen.
God
Amen.
Or myself.
That's right. That's
right. Mm-hmm. Amen. And just even in that, you know, when he asks us to step away from things, and it is hard, you know, and because I think in there are true God-given desires to serve him, you know, and you're like, but I wanted to serve you. Like, I thought this, if I step away, then I'm not doing that thing that I have a yearning for, you know. But just to rest even in that, that his ways are higher than our ways and better, and it actually will be much better than we thought, doesn't mean maybe there are seasons where we step away and you know, you care for your family or whatever it is, but just in Sam and Jason prayed, I just feel like it was a confirmation, but just as trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Just be faithful to the Lord where he's put you, to the things that he's given you. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I know we often think, oh, I'm gonna get what I desire, but I really think it also means I'll get the desires that he wants me to have. Mm-hmm. You know, not just, oh, it's coming, whatever I want, you know, it's coming to me. But like, to rest in him and just submit, it's the hardest thing to do because of that pride, because of our flesh, because I think we sometimes misjudge God and we think, oh, but it's going to be boring, you know, or just it's not going to be fulfilling and it's going to be hard. And, you know, maybe it is. But when you look back on those times, you will be glad of them. You won't want to go back, maybe. Maybe they have been hard times, hurtful times, but you will see fruitfulness from them. Like, I know there are times in my life where it's just like, this is doesn't make any sense. Like, this is dark and there's no fruit in this. But now I can look back and just go, man, if I had not walked through that, I wouldn't know what I know about the Lord or be able to comfort my sister in such and such a thing, you know. And just be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, you know, and just rest in him. Just, I think there are so many things in this room and in our class.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm sorry. I just looked over.
Maybe he's hungry.
It's legitimate.
He's coming in for rest. Yeah. He's like, I heard Jesus is here.
No, you're good. But just, I think there are a lot of things in this room and a lot of questions, and there's a lot of, even if you're not there yet, I think there's just, people are about to have kids, or if you're not pregnant yet, you know, you plan to one day, and not even that it's all, it's not, and even that is just such a deception of the enemy. Like, it's not your kid's fault, you know, or it's like, it's not, sometimes I feel like the enemy can just, he really can just steal the joy of you enjoying life. You know, there are things in your heart that you desire to do, even just on a personal level, and, you know, just don't forget just to enjoy the simple things and rest in him. I know that he is going to bring about those things, those yearnings and desires in your heart. Like, God, I want to see this happen. God, I want to do this for you. Lord, I would love to one day somehow do such and such a thing for you. I know there are desires like that. That's from the Lord. But don't let that steal the now. Like, don't let it steal you just sitting on your front porch and enjoying the sunshine, or just hanging out with your kids and just enjoying life. Like, don't feel like you're in bondage. You know, recently I was looking at Priscilla Shire's thing. Priscilla Shire, sorry, I mumbled. Her website. She's a woman.
Tony Evans' daughter.
Okay.
She's like, she's, Yeah, like she's made all these Bible studies. She's a preacher, you know. She's, but she. But it's like she could marry.
Everybody knows.
She. I thought everybody knows. She's been married to her husband Jerry for 20 years. She's been studying and writing, and but she spends most of her time cleaning up after and trying to satisfy the appetites of their three growing boys, Jackson, Jerry Jr., and Jude. And sometimes I just, even like those people, like I see her, you know, and I believe she's truly anointed of the Lord, and I like her ministry, you know, and there are other people out there, but just to take away the misconception, like those people take their cars to the gas station and they do their laundry and they feed their ever-growing children, like, because the most fruitful people you see that are truly spirit-filled and what's coming out of them is Jesus, that's Jesus. Those people are human beings. Like, they still have to do all the practical things and they still live practical life, but they rested in Jesus. And he was allowed to say, good, now let me be used. Like, the glory goes to him, like, out of their lives. Those people that you admire and you look up to and think, you know, those are, they're so used with the Lord, like they must ride heavenly horses in the clouds all day long. You're like, they don't, but they rest in Jesus, and then what comes out of them is Jesus, you know. And that's just what we need to do, you know. If there's desires in our hearts, you know, just to rest in him, seek him, go to that place, and be aware of the enemy who does not want you to get there. And he's so subtle, you know, just making us busy, giving us projects, giving us like, oh, I'm going to take part in such a competition, or, you know, just be aware those things aren't sinful, but if they're taken away from that place of rest, you know, it's just what are your priorities?
Yeah, whatever, you know, sometimes we might have an off morning or an off week. I'm telling you something. I used to think a long time ago, oh, one day if I'm ever called into full-time ministry, I know what I'm going to do. I made like the Excel schedule, you know, on Mondays, Tuesdays through Fridays. I'm going to spend 2 hours in the morning. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this in my first half hour. I'm just going to read. And then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to study. Oh, and then that last half hour, 2 hours, I'm going to read books so I can learn and grow and everything. And all I can do is like just keep going, you know what I mean? Like, here I am, but it really doesn't make a difference. Our lives are busy, you know, whether we're secular life or not, it's still a struggle to make time, because if we're very honest, wherever we find ourselves, there are sometimes things that we just want to do more than be with Jesus, you know. And when that happens, don't fall into a pit of condemnation. Just be humble and be like, wow, God, this is wrong. I can't fix myself. I'd rather go run off and do this fun thing, something that I feel like would be more fun, but I believe you're able to help me. You know what? And he will. And he'll make that joy, and he'll make it life. There's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be a battle, you know? I don't think we're just going to get to this point where it's like, you know, we're not going to reach a point of perfection this time, side of heaven. But anyway, all that just to say, it's a struggle, no matter where we are. It's a real struggle. But whatever keeps us consistently from his presence, if we go on in that, God might have grace with us. He'll protect us. But at some point, it's going to hit critical mass, and we'll be destroyed. It might start off small. It'll affect my relationship with my wife. We're starting to get a bit more snippy. You know, oh, wow, I just closed the door and walked out on the argument. We said we'd never do that, right? And now I'm doing this, and now I'm doing that. But the further we go, if we don't stop and repent in that moment of that thing that we know God is convicting us of, we're heading for destruction. Look at Solomon. God appeared to him twice. And at the end of his life, you know what it says? He's burning incense on the high places, and he's making sacrifices or burning incense to Molech. Molech is the god where you would put your baby in its hands, and it would burn it to death. Or you'd sacrifice your child. And here's this man who built the temple of God, but because he gave up a place for sexual gratification, and it could be whatever, it could be career gratification, sleep, whatever, it eventually came to a point, there he is. There's Solomon, there's the end of his life. So, we don't have to end up there. We don't have to. Yeah, it's just real. It's just real. I don't have to be like trying to draw it back and not be so heavy. But yeah, we have to be careful. It's a real life. There are real consequences. It's not just some happy-go-lucky, Christian life, God's got my back, you know, kind of a thing. We can't be foolish like that. But there, yeah. So I just want to pray, but don't really have a whole lot of time. It's already 8 o'clock. We've been here for like an hour and a half. But I do just want to say give the opportunity. You know, not so much for prayer requests, and maybe not a lot of people can open up, but just that we can be open with one another and actually begin to talk to one another in these times and really begin. You know, the Bible says a fool speaks their whole heart. We don't need to know every single detail, but maybe there's something that you're genuinely battling with, struggling with, and maybe you don't even bring it out to the whole group, but you just want to go to a brother or a sister. Let's not be so closed off within our own selves and our own schedules that we don't get help that we need. Do you know what I mean? So.